Please allow me to reintroduce myself. I'm the Apostle Paul, and I'm speaking to you today from the seat of wisdom. In my day, when someone spoke in the synagogue, they sat on the seat of wisdom to speak. And those listening would stand to hear the message. Now, I understand that your custom is not to stand during the reading of the message or the proclaiming of the message, so please feel free to remain seated as I speak. Are you one of those people who insists on going to the movie and getting there before it begins so that you can see the opening scenes? For many moviegoers, it's important to see the opening scenes of a movie because that's where movie makers put the premise or setup of the storyline for the rest of the movie. Few things are as challenging as joining a story in the middle. When you get to a theater after a movie has started, or if you're flipping through the TV channels and you find an interesting program, but it's already been on for several minutes, it's hard for most of us to pick up on the plot devices that were introduced before we began watching. Those plot devices that will influence the conclusion of the storyline. Well, today's Bible passage gives you only the last few sentences of my correspondence with the Corinthian Christians. My arguments with the members of the church that I planted in Corinth are somewhat known to most of you, especially if you've been with me during these past several weeks for the series of messages that we are concluding today from my second letter to the Corinthians. These final brisk words collect the positive values of the Christian faith for the Corinthian believers. In your Bible passage for today, I, the Apostle Paul, was saying goodbye. What I say here in today's Bible passage outlines what I believe to be the most crucial things about our Christian faith. The first message shared with the Corinthians in today's Bible passage, and I share with you, is this. Whatever you have experienced in life and are currently experiencing, be happy. This is a commandment. It's not just an idle word that I say. In fact, I said in verse 9, we are happy when we are weak, but you are strong. You know, joy is the proper response to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'll remember back in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, I said, I am overjoyed in all our affliction. Now, surely I'm not saying that all life is entirely pleasant, and I'm not trying to be heaped on with more affliction. Life's burdens and disappointments, agonies and pains, evil activities or pleasant experiences are known by all of us. But I insist in the face of these that the sure gift of God in Christ is forgiveness of sin and the strength to lift up our hearts in every situation. And so I'm trying to remind you that in Christ, you have not been forgotten by God. This message from me, Paul, who you may remember was an often imprisoned, beaten, and abused missionary pastor, these words would not have been missed by the Corinthians. And I hope and pray that you will not miss my message, which is this: you have not been forgotten by God. My second message to the Corinthians in today's Bible passage actually has two parts, if you will. What you might call part A is mend your ways. I said it this way in verse 5. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you understand that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You see, if those of us in the church chronically reject God's word and ways. Checking to see if we're saved isn't just wise. It's essential. The grace and mercy of God through the Holy Spirit that God has given us gives us yet another chance to pull ourselves together while still in this life. And the way we spend our lives together are vital and important to God. So when we fail, God has sent the Holy Spirit as an encourager so that we might try again. With God, we always get another chance. Thank God for another chance and for the companionship of the Holy Spirit, whose constant presence nurtures us in this task of mending our ways and pulling ourselves together. A Christian believer's mind is also another part for mending. And so another aspect of my second message, what you might call part B, is stated in verse 11, where I said, "Be in harmony with each other." In other words, be of one mind. This is a powerful corrective to the severe words that I was forced to write elsewhere in my letters to the Corinthians. Differences in ways to express faith will continue to fuel conflict between Christians. However, the hallmark of the Christian faith is not only to believe, but to join our minds to the mind of Christ. We are to be in harmony. That is, we are to be of one mind in faith. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we Christian believers can be reconciled to other believers by the same grace that reconciled us to God. It's a profound work of the Holy Spirit to nurture us both in the mending of our ways and in enabling us to become of one mind with fellow believers. My third message to the Corinthian Christians and to you is also found in verse 11. Live in peace. This message requires little explanation to those who already rejoice in Christ and whose lifestyle is constantly mended under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They know daily celebration. However, those missing the joy of Christ and mending by the Holy Spirit will be locked out of the experience of the peace of God. When you can live on the island of peace with the Creator, Sustainer God, and in harmony with your most intimate friends and fellow congregation members, then an inner state of comfort or peace is one of your rewards. And here I describe the Christian faith as being superior to the ancient Hebrew goal of shalom. The God of love and peace becomes a routine presence for Christian believers. In verse 13, I wrote, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." My final blessing on the Corinthians in verse 13 invokes all three members of the Trinity, the Father, God, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And although the term Trinity is not explicitly used in the Bible, this verse shows that I and other early Christians believed that there were three persons in the Godhead: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, denying that Jesus is God would mean denying that his death on the cross could provide unmerited grace to those who believe in Jesus. Denying that his Holy Spirit is God would mean denying that the Holy Spirit could provide believers fellowship with God and each other. So with this final Trinitarian benediction, I, the Apostle Paul, was giving the Corinthians and you a model from the Godhead of how to be united in love through the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit's empowering, the Corinthians and you could begin to imitate in their congregation and in your congregation the grace, love, and fellowship that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit already enjoyed. Through my visits to the Corinthians, and throughout both my letters to the Corinthians, I had tried to patiently communicate the good news of the gospel and to encourage the Corinthians to reform their ways. Please understand, I loved the Corinthians. And I reached out to them with visits and letters again and again. This type of persistent love was the type of grace that Jesus had shown to me, Paul. Although I had persecuted the church before accepting Christ as my Savior, Jesus had graciously shown me mercy. In the same way, I didn't withdraw myself from the Corinthians when they began to reject me. I didn't exclude them from fellowship. Instead, I expressed love and concern for them. I prayed for them. I even lovingly warned them about the false teaching and the immorality in the congregation. It was by my commitment to the Corinthians, through the good times and bad, through rejection and acceptance, that I hoped to bring the Corinthians back into the full enjoyment of Christ and Christian unity. I said in verse 11, "Put things in order. Respond to my encouragement. Be in harmony with each other and live in peace." My closing words to the Corinthians: what I wanted the Corinthians to remember about the needs facing their church are still fitting for your congregation today. When these qualities aren't present, there are problems that must be dealt with. These traits of putting things in order, responding to encouragement, being in harmony with each other, and living in peace, do not come to a church by glossing over problems or conflicts or difficulties. They are not produced by neglect, denial, withdrawal, or bitterness. They are the byproducts of the extremely hard work of solving problems in a Christ-like way. So just as I, Paul, and the Corinthians had to hammer out difficulties to bring peace, so you too must apply the principles of God's word and not just hear them. In verse 13, I wrote, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And my final blessing on the Corinthians, in verse 13, invokes all three members of the Trinity. And with this Trinitarian benediction, I was giving the Corinthians, and I'm giving to you, a model from the Godhead of how to be unified in love. My closing words, what I wanted the Corinthians to remember about the needs facing their church, and my closing words to you today are these. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order. Respond to my encouragement. Be in harmony with each other and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.